We've got breaking news. The Biden administration has been withholding war-ending intel on Hamas from Israel.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Logan Seculo here. Executive producer Will Haynes joining me in studio. We got a packed show again. Rick Rennell's going to be joining us in the next segment. Harry Hutchinson will be joining us following that. And then John Androsik from Five for Fighting. He'll be wrapping up the show towards the end to talk about the outpouring of support from the rest of the world, but also the negative response from the Eurovision Song Contest. I know that may not be on the top part of you as an American as something that's going on, but we got to address it. We got to talk about it. First, though, we got to address this breaking news, and this came out over the weekend, which is that the Biden administration not only has intel on where certain Hamas leaders are, tunnels are, that includes the ringleaders of the attacks in October, but not only do they have that intel, they have decided to withhold that intel from Israel and use it as a bribe tool to get them to not go into Rafah, which is where the last stronghold and the main stronghold is of Hamas in Gaza. Now, this obviously is really troubling as Israel has been our ally, as we heard the information coming in over the weekend, we can even now ignore the Biden speech from a couple weeks ago, or last week, where he said, you know, I've never, you know, stood more closely with someone than Israel, and we're going to never, and we knew this had just come out of the weapons deal where there was the hold on the munitions. And now to know that the U.S., which not shockingly has good intel, has information that could really end the war. And they've decided to make a political stunt out of it and to withhold this information. Rick Rennell, former director of national intelligence, is going to be joining us in the next segment. You don't get that kind of broadcast, by the way, anywhere else on the planet. So in the next segment, we're not going to hold him till later in the show. In the next segment, we're going to talk about that, what that means when you have this kind of information and you withhold it from your ally. You essentially are turning your ally into an enemy. Well, we're going to take calls on it. 1-800-684-3110. There's a poll right now on YouTube that says, has Biden been exposed by withholding intel to Israel? Obviously, this is not that shocking in a sad way, but the fact they do have this information and are keeping it from our allies, and specifically in Israel, to end the war, to go in there, take out the final leaders of Hamas. To wrap it all up, I saw a great segment on Bill Maher's show where one of his panelists said, you can't go in and just take out 80% of the war. You can't end it 80%. You have to go in and eliminate it 100%. And that's true with illness. That's true with anything. You can't go in and just take care a percentage of it. You have to take out the whole thing. They have the ability to do it. And now, without having this intel and knowing they're just holding it up for political gain because they're trying to push them from going in on a full-scale attack on Rafah, as we've seen, attacks still from Hamas on that humanitarian pier. We've also seen them at the border attacking. Will, this is an ongoing issue, but this is a big one. I want to hear from you because it sounds a little reminiscent of maybe something they accused President Trump of. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. And it really raises a lot more questions than it answers. When you read the headlines like U.S. offers Israel intel on Hamas leaders for pledge to hold back on Rafah, it really makes you question the administration's commitment to Israel from the get-go at this point. If they have this type of intel, they weren't sharing it with the Israelis to try to have a quick resolution to this conflict. Why were they holding it back? Why are they making so many political moves? Who are they trying to appease? Are they trying to appease the people on campuses across this country? And we're going to get into this with Rick in the next segment, and I can't wait to hear some of his answers.
That's right. Give us a call. Phone line's already lighting up. I want to hear from you. You are the most important voice in the room here. 1-800-684-3110. So few shows still take open phone calls, and we're going to take them. 1-800-684-3110. We'll have your voice heard today. If you're watching on YouTube, encourage you to hit that thumbs up and comment. If you haven't subscribed, go ahead and do that. If you're on Rumble, thank you. Free speech platform. Hit that follow button. We're going to continue on this conversation with Rick Rennell, again, member of the ACLJ team and also former director of national intelligence. So you can't imagine what he has got to say. Stay tuned. We're back in less than a minute. And support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Secula. We are joined by Rick Grinnell, Senior Advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy here at the ACLJ. And obviously, we bring him in this situation because he obviously was the former Acting Director of National Intelligence. Now, Rick, this is a big deal. I want to make sure our audience understands this. The Biden administration, we know this now, been withholding what we're considering what could be war-ending information. Information details on where the last Hamas leadership, some of the people, the ringleaders are, certain tunnel situation, because the U.S. has pretty good intelligence, it seems, but they've decided to make this a political stunt and not help our allies.
Look, it's infuriating. It makes me very angry to see how, once again, the Democrats are playing politics with intelligence. We can't do that. We've got to remove the politics from intelligence. But here's a situation where they literally are holding back information, possibly crucial information. I've spoken to several intel officials who are currently employed in the federal government intelligence system. And I spoke to them this morning. And one individual, she says that it's so bad that everybody is talking about it and complaining that it ruins the credibility of the intelligence agencies when we're trying to hold back intelligence or manipulate it in some way. Remember, this is an administration, Avril Haines, as DNI, who started off her tenure as repackaging a whole bunch of information on Saudi Arabia in order to show the Iranians that somehow we were going to play nice and be on their team. And it's been a disaster ever since. We've placated the Iranians, we've given them money, and look what we've gotten, war. And now we're holding back intelligence. It's like someone needs to tell Avril Haines and Joe Biden that we still have U.S. hostages, and providing intelligence to the Israelis about Hamas, about where our hostages may be, is crucial information. It's un-American to hold it back.
Rick, we know that the president is in a very difficult political situation here at home, as you see the protests across the country, the encampments on campuses, the vile anti-Semitism that's going on. And it has to be asked, when you see a move like this, where they're withholding potentially devastating to Hamas information from Israel, our ally in this time of war, and the president is trying to appease a base at home and trying to coax an ally to do something that could benefit him politically, do you see any parallels with what the Democrats accused Donald Trump of doing with Ukraine here?
I mean, one thing that I've learned over the years is that whenever the Democrats point their finger, they're trying to distract. And so there's clearly an element of they accuse us of the exact same things that they're doing. But let me also say this, Will, I think it's really important to say, is that I don't believe that what the Biden administration is doing is helpful to Arab Americans or people in Michigan or to the Palestinians. Because the supporting Hamas or hiding information about where Hamas is only makes this war go on longer. The whole focus is to get our hostages back and to crush Hamas. Why would they protect Hamas by hiding information about Hamas? They seem to constantly mix up this idea that Palestinians or Michiganders or Democrats somehow are supporting Hamas leadership just simply because they want to see this situation calm down in Gaza. I actually know many Arabs who want to see this over with immediately. And the way to do it, they recognize, is to return the hostages and crush Hamas. They're not being represented by Hamas, the Palestinian people. The Palestinians need to throw Hamas overboard and say they do not represent us, crush them, and let's get on with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's true for a lot of Israelis also, who do not want to see an ongoing war here. I think there is that sort of warmonger mentality that people think are coming out of the Israelis. And the Israeli friends that I have and I've talked to, trust me, their economy is suffering because of this. They are taking big hits. They understand the necessity of taking out Hamas, and they feel like it is time for a lot of them. But look, the whole country really is built on a couple different things, technology and exporting that technology. And the other thing they're really known for is tourism. And guess what's really not happening right now is tourism. Getting in and out of the country still very difficult. And finally, things were starting just a few weeks ago. Things were starting to finally tick back. You had airlines saying, okay, we're going to start flying back into Israel. And then you had the Iran attack. So it's not like all of a sudden Israel is excited to be in this war. They want it to be over too. So if you have that vital information and you're not sharing it, it does feel, like Will said, a very political moment. And then at the same time, again, just sort of doublespeak happening. And this, I saw this in the New York Times actually sent an email last week or just over the weekend. And it was, the headline was, the Biden administration has concluded it is reasonable to assess that Israel's military campaign in Gaza has violated international law. Now you read one more paragraph and it says, now the State Department also told Congress in a written report that it has not found specific instances that would justify the withholding of military aid. So again, more doublespeak, more political rhetoric, just playing with the emotions of the voters.
Look, the Biden administration, every single appointee, as well as the media in Washington, D.C., think that they can do this doublespeak. They're hypocrites. And let me just tell them one thing. I have been talking to lots of Arab Americans across this country, hoping that they will support Donald Trump. And I'm hearing great things from them because Arab Americans, like evangelicals and pro-Israel individuals in America, believe two things. One, Iran is the problem. When you fund Iran, you get terrorism. The Trump administration didn't fund Iran. Guess who did? The Biden administration. And the second thing is they know Hamas is the problem. They're focused on getting rid of Hamas. Arab leaders know that Hamas can never be in control going forward. So wiping them out and getting rid of them is the goal. They need to do it faster. And we need to stop telling Israel to slow down. I'll finish with this. I think the idea of a ceasefire right now means when you call for a ceasefire, you're calling for the hostages to remain with Hamas and the problem to linger.
Rick, a big question for me. And when you hear this type of language from Secretary of State Blinken in this report to Congress that the U.S. Has determined that Israel likely violated international law. Is this a huge gift to the ICC that we know is just chomping at the bit to get after Israeli officials for war crimes when now you have the United States saying they likely committed or violated international law?
I mean, these international courts are really a disaster, and Europeans need to understand what they're doing to the rule of law and to justice by propping up these international courts. I worked at the UN for 8 years. I know the terrible political nature of the ICC. The Hague is quickly behind them as becoming just as political. The American taxpayers need to speak up and say, stop funding ICC, stop funding the Hague. Jack Smith came from The Hague, and it's a disaster. It's way too political. No one's watching it. And we've got too many people who are getting caught up in politics in Europe or Eastern Europe or the Balkans, now the Middle East, all because these courts are run amok.
Yeah, I think that is the truth. And it's something that we've been dealing with here at the ACLJ for a long time. And look, we get engaged at the UN, we get engaged at the ICC because people have to. We have to be there. It doesn't mean we want to be. It doesn't mean we like the idea of existing, but we do have to be there. Your voice has to be heard in these global courts or whatever it is. It may sound dystopian. Trust me, it kind of is. But without us being there, your voice isn't heard. And that's what we do here at the ACLJ. I mean, again, I go back to that quote that I heard this weekend on Hamas. It was, I think Douglas Murray was on Bill Maher, and he said something to the effect of, you can't put out 80% of a fire. And that's what's happened right now in Gaza. They've put out 80% of it, and now you're telling them they can't go finish the job and take out terrorism once and for all. And how we're going to control that is by withholding information. Rick, and we only got a minute left. As someone who's been in that job, as someone who has had access to that intelligence, I know you can't tell us all the details there, but this is the reason you have foreign intel that are working to help and support your allies.
Well, the leaks are the problem. And in this particular case, the leaks are a big problem because they're showing that the intelligence community is withholding information from our ally Israel, all because Joe Biden wants a better strategy for Michigan. The political people are making the decisions about intelligence. The political people are making decisions about foreign policy. And I would argue that in the Biden administration, I think they're all one. Yep. I think everybody who's national security driven is political. And that's a huge problem.
Yeah, and that's a sad state of affairs. Look, we're here at the ACLJ as the Biden administration seems to be dictating how Israel is going to be able to defend themselves. We are there to help support Israel. There's so many different ways. We're going to get into it a little bit later in the broadcast. But I'm going to ask you right now, we have a petition to stop the Biden administration's basically support of Israel's enemies. And we're close to that goal of 50,000 signatures. You can do it right now. Go to ACLJ.org/sign. And if you're able to help, become a recurring donor, as we call them, ACLJ champions. And the ACLJ work, by the way, also happens here domestically. We're going to give you a win coming up in the next segment with Harry Hutchinson. Back in a minute. Welcome back. I want to shift this to our ACLJ domestic work. And on what would seemingly be a small scale, when you hear about the work we're doing in Israel, the work we're doing to defend Israel, you may be wondering, what about us in America? Well, at the ACLJ, we are ready to help you. Whether you are a student who is being harassed, whether it's for the protest or whether it is for your beliefs. And that is what happened here. The ACLJ has a pretty major victory. And again, you have to judge major victories on the fact that they have impact on everyone when we get these wins, even if they seem small or they seem, you know, frankly ridiculous, which is what this one is. The ACLJ, here's the headline, wins major victory on behalf of a nine-year-old. A nine-year-old, that's what, a third grader probably, second, third grader, nine-year-old student banned from sharing Easter eggs with Bible verses in them. That's right. Imagine that your kid goes there with Bible verses in their Easter eggs, you know, the little eggs, you put the candy in, put a Bible verse in, was told, could not do it. The ACLJ took action because their parents reached out and said, we don't know what to do in this situation. And the ACLJ goes to work, gets them immediately attached to a lawyer, and at no cost because of people like you who support us. So, Will, let's break it down a little bit. Let's bring in Harry to give us how this all works with the court system. Because what you should be very impressed by, though you think this should take, in the world, it should be faster than this. But in today's society, the fact that we're able to get a legal win since Easter, you're talking about 6 weeks ago. Any other law moment, any other legal thing you've ever been involved in last 6 weeks? You ever get a passport? Takes longer than that. We were able to go into the ACLJ, send our team on it, and get it handled very quickly.
That's right. So our clients, and it was actually 2 9-year-old students that this happened to, and this was in Georgia. And the clients prepared plastic Easter eggs. They had jelly beans, a poem about what the meaning of the selected colors of jelly beans meant, and a Bible verse about the meaning of Easter. They were going to be handed out on Good Friday to their classmates, and the parents had told the teachers that they had prepared this gift for their classmates. And then when the teachers checked inside the eggs, saw the Bible verses, they did not allow the clients to hand them out. They confiscated them. And Professor Hutchison, that's when the ACLJ gets involved, because this is a clear violation of the student's First Amendment right.
Precisely. So the ACLJ has moved with lightning speed, at least in terms of legal analysis, to protect the religious freedom rights of nine-year-old students. So imagine looking back at the history of the United States, keeping in mind that virtually every single state, or if you look at the original colonies, basically had a religious provision in the state's constitution protecting freedom of religion. But now we live in a profound cultural moment, which would have reflects cultural division on questions of religious rights and religious freedom. Keep in mind that religious rights are part of America's first freedom. If you look at the Constitution, the freedom of religion is enshrined in the Constitution. But in this particular cultural moment, 2024, we have to be prepared to go to court, and we have to be prepared to go to court very, very quickly, Otherwise, religious freedom rights of 9-year-old students or 12-year-old students will be extinguished.
And one of the things I love, the ACLJ, we've been doing this for 30-plus years, and one of the things we've seen is these kids who these happen to, and they grow up, and then they look back at their life, and they go, wait a second. When I was 9 years old, this gigantic law firm didn't charge my family anything to come in there and protect my rights. And, you know, at 9 years old, you probably don't understand legal fees. You probably don't understand what it would cost. But we're able to do that. And a lot of those kids are now adults and are now ACLJ supporters and donors because we stood up for them, whether that was at See You at the Poll 30 years ago, whether that was bringing your Bible, starting a Bible club, whatever it was, we were there for them. And now they can look back as an adult and go, wow, the ACLJ was there for me and I didn't even realize it. And obviously these parents do. They're very thankful that we are able to do this. Protect the rights and the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. But it's happening across campuses right now. And campuses, I mean, elementary school, middle school, high school. I saw an interview last week where it said probably the most punk rock thing you can be right now in school is a evangelical Christian. Because it used to be dye your hair, get a nose ring, punk rock. That's what you would do. But that is mainstream now. What is not mainstream? The only thing you can, if you want to be a rebellious anarchist high school student, is to be a devout Christian or Catholic, someone who takes their faith seriously and tries to live by that. That is the most you can do right now. That is the most anarchistic punk rock thing you can do, is to live a Christian life in middle school, in high school, in public school systems right now. If you're one of those kids, or your kid is one of those kids, and they need help because they're getting pushed around by probably the faculty now. It's not even just the other students, but maybe it's by the other students as well. We want to be there for you. ACLJ.org/help. All you have to do is fill out a form. Again, it's at no cost. We don't charge anyone for our legal services. The way that it works is because people like you support the ACLJ, whether that's a one-time gift or ongoing monthly ACLJ champions. We can do that and we can make a big difference. And in a time when religion is probably the most, and faith is most under attack, again, it seems trivial that it is a Easter egg, to bring into school. It seems, in the grand scheme of the world, and we've had to adjust this in our minds, the ACLJ, because we have to remind people that these things are still important. Sure, we can get bogged down with what's happening. You should be focused on what's happening in the Middle East and around the world, and even in our own government. But there are moments like this, and there are cases like this that come into the ACLJ every day. And if we don't take care of them, nobody will.
Precisely. So there is a concerted attempt to remove religion from public life. And this reflects the belief by anti-religious secularists that religion is simply the stubborn persistence of a bad gene, and parental teaching of religion is now seen on many university campuses as a form of parental abuse, and the ACLJ is prepared to push back against this effort.
We got to do it, Will. We got to do it. We got to keep going, and we got to have people support the work.
That's right. And because of people that support the ACLJ, we were able to go immediately. The school pushed back initially. They tried to say that the reason they took the Easter eggs away were because of they were concerned about allergies of the jelly beans.
I'm sure.
But we kept reinforcing that this was about the Bible verses. This was about the law.
Their allergy was conviction by the word of God.
And now we have in writing a declaration and an assurance that the clients are free to distribute religious messages in a non-disruptive manner during non-instructional time, meaning you can't start preaching in the middle of class. But they are allowed to distribute their message and share their faith with their students at the school.
Look, we understand that. To not have disruption, we get that part of this. It's not like we're sitting here. Like, one thing also with the ACLJ, I've always said, we're never going to lie to you in these situations. We're not going to tell you what you want to hear. We're going to be honest and honest brokers throughout this to say, this is what the law is. This is how we're going to withhold, make sure it stands up to scrutiny. This is what we're going to do to protect kids. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to change the law. Here's why we think so. We're not just going to tell you what you want to hear. And that's just across the board of the ACLJ, across the board in this broadcast. I am not in the business of creating an echo chamber. I am not in the business of surrounding you with your own thoughts. We're going to challenge your thoughts when we think you need to hear it. Go to ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ. Got an update on a life situation coming up in the next segment. And then John Androsic joins us in the back half hour to talk about Eurovision and their maybe shocking support of the world for Israel.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to the second half hour of Seculo. We're joined later on in the broadcast by John Andrasik. And in just about 5 minutes, he'll be on the broadcast from Five for Fighting to talk about what happened over in Eurovision and what we can do to call on the arts to stand in support for Israel. Of course, you had Greta Thunberg out there protesting. As you know, you want climate activists out there. Because you know what? If you're a leftist, you got to go full bore. You can't be just a climate activist, which again, I'm for the fact that, you know, we should be protecting our environment to some extent. Sure. Why not? Protect the earth that God's given us. But then, of course, you have to go and loop it in with everything else, which is now you're a pro-Palestinian activist. But I do want to take a second here to talk about the ACLJ's life work. If you're not getting our emails, you need to go to aclj.org. Whenever you sign a petition, anything like that, which you can do that at aclj.org/sign. You'll get an option to opt into our emails. They come daily. And we have some new updates, Will, on some of our fights for life.
That's right. We have filed a cert petition with the Supreme Court. So that's the filing where you're asking the court to hear your case. And this involves a sidewalk counselor in New Jersey with the last name Turco. So that's, we refer to it as the Turco case. Yeah, if you hear
not,
us talk
not
about
like
it.
Rico. That's
right.
A,
exactly.
I'm sure probably is natively, but it's not that. It's a person.
Right. And so essentially there was laws in New Jersey which set up buffer zones, which are legal ways of limiting speech around abortion clinics. They set up within this number of feet of the clinic, you can't have free speech. You can't just get out there and talk or have counseling for people that are maybe visiting that. These have been a hodgepodge around the country of places that do them and that try to enact these laws. And it all goes back to a case, Hill versus Colorado, which the Supreme Court in the Dobbs decision actually said was bad law. So what we're now hoping is that they will take up this Turco case to overturn this buffer zone, which limits the speech of people that are going and trying to share options before someone goes into a very serious time of going into an abortion clinic. And if the Supreme Court takes this, it's an opportunity to overturn bad law that came out of Roe versus Wade. So this is the continued fight for options for women that are faced with a life-changing moment that have need to have options presented to them, and also to not limit the free speech of Americans who just want to give alternatives to abortion.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we just came off of Mother's Day weekend. I'm sure a lot of you celebrated. I celebrated my mom, and we celebrated my wife, and the joy of motherhood. And all we are doing at the ACLJ is just trying to give rights to people who just want to say, to protect those children, protect those babies, so more people can become mothers, so they have the facts actually in front of them. And we see that nationwide with Pregnancy Resources Center, so many amazing people that are working in these high-risk pregnancy, you know, situations, even like my family had. There are tons of resources, but they're being limited. The voices are trying to be squashed, but the ACLJ is there again to make sure that their voices can be heard, and at least everyone is given the opportunity to hear the facts, even if they don't want you to hear it. That is really the whole goal of the ACLJ, whether you heard about the Bible or you heard about the Easter eggs with Bible verses in it, where you hear about what's going on in the world, Middle East, when you hear about our fights for life, a lot of it is to just make sure that people like you and your friends and your family actually get the facts and are given the option to decide what to believe, not just be force-fed the media's narrative or the government's narrative. And that's why we're here at the ACLJ Fight. And I'm going to encourage you right now to join the ACLJ, and by that also get our daily emails. You can keep yourself updated. I read them every morning. Of course, I am involved in creating some of them, but I do read them, and I want to make sure that I can really speak to you about what's happening. And the work of the ACLJ continues. We just got a comment in, because I said, you know, I love hearing from kids who are now adults who had the ACLJ on their side. And someone else on YouTube just said, in 1995, ACLJ advised me on my rights to have a Bible study. 1995, 29 years ago, the ACLJ was there for them, and they're still part of the family. And that's why I love to. Still checking in on us each and every day. I want to thank all of you who support the work of the ACLJ. We got John Andrasik coming up. talk about Eurovision and more. You may have seen the Seinfeld protests. Seculo, we have joining us right now John Andrasik, Five for Fighting, who we've had on this broadcast now over the last few months a lot when it comes to the entertainment world's reaction, or lack of reaction for that matter, to what's going on in Israel. Over the weekend was the finals for the Eurovision Song Contest, which again, us as Americans, many of you may not even know what that is, but it is a humongous deal. It's been going on since the 50s, where countries from around Europe and their surrounding European areas, the U.S. does not, do not participate, submit a song to represent their country, and they essentially battle it out in sort of a reality show style television broadcast. It's always eccentric. It's always kind of fun. Sometimes it really represents the country. Sometimes it does not. This year was coming to you live from Sweden because Sweden had won previous year. The year before that was in London because Ukraine had won. They could not host it in Ukraine. It's actually a family tradition in the COVID era. They started showing it in America. And now my family, this was the fourth year, we sit around together and we watch the Eurovision Song Contest because it's a lot of fun. It's really silly. Now this year, I have to say, there's a few moments where, especially with Ireland, it got very dark. Had to kind of turn it off with my kids. But for the most part, it's usually fun and silly with some occasionally beautiful songs. And that's what happened with Israel. And there, of course, Israel competes. Last year, Israel finished very high with the power of the unicorn. And then this year, Eden Golan, who came out with a song that obviously is emotional. It's about, it's not necessarily about the conflict, but it certainly infers some of the emotions. And John, of course, what happens with just really participating in a song contest? The world loses its mind outside of the, outside of Eurovision. Tens of thousands of people showed up, led by Greta Thunberg, of course, out there. It's just another sign of this really chaos against Israel, even in the arts.
You know, I'd never really heard of Eurovision, but yesterday I spent 20 euro voting for Eden Golan, voting 20 times. And I think, this kid is a hero. I mean, the fact that she even walked on stage at the beginning of this, knowing what was coming, she'd already won. But, you know, I think Logan, if you look at the kind of and dynamic of what happened at Eurovision, I think it really reflects what's going on in the culture, because you have the music elites, you have kind of the music press, and you even had many voters who came out and said yesterday that they did not vote for her because she was Israeli.
Right.
You know, so you see that in the arts. But then you look at the popular vote. Obviously, we know Israel has a very small population. Eden Golan got, I think, number two in the popular vote and number one as far as many countries voted for her, as did Ukraine. I think Ukraine and Israel were in the top three. So I think that reflects that the noise we hear on our campuses, frankly, some of the abandonment of Israel by our president, does not reflect the real world. The real world supports Israel, and you see that in the polls in America, and you see that in the popular vote of Eurovision.
This was the first time, I believe, American viewers were able to vote. We watch it, like I said, every year. We can't participate. But it's a really fun ending where the countries all give their votes away. And, of course, some countries gave a few of theirs, but no one gave their overwhelming majority to Israel. So you saw Israel in the top 50 was like, you know, somewhere, you know, mid to end pack. And then the rest of the world chimed in, including, by the way, most of Europe. And Israel went from something like 50 votes to 400 and took the top spot for a moment. Like you said, Ukraine came in, had some more votes, and then it balanced itself out where Israel ends up with the top five finish, beating, by the way, like I said, Ireland, which came out as a very publicly opposing the state of Israel. And if you saw the imagery out of Ireland, you would be like, well, no wonder. But of course, this was a very, you know, creepy sort of imagery. But in general, even those voices were upset. They were crying, Will. You heard them saying, I was crying when I found out that Israel made it into the top 10. And you are right, though, John, that when it was actually given to the people to vote, the voices in the room that feel like the loudest were somewhat silenced.
Well, and again, you know, look, a lot of it was theater. I don't so much I don't get angry at the crazy Ireland act and no. some of the artists, because, you know, they've been indoctrinated. But this is what makes me sad and angry. You have this 20-year-old woman who cannot leave her hotel because of ranting anti-Semitic mobs. She has to be brought through the streets in an armored caravan with 100 police officers and a helicopter escort. You'd think the rest of the world's artists, whatever their political opinion, whatever their feeling on Israel, would be able to stand up and say, what is happening to our fellow artists is unacceptable, and this cannot happen in 2024. But again, like the rest of the music industry except October 7th, nobody can say anything. I called out Bono, Springsteen, Barbara Streisand, literally on Fox News. I pled to them, can you at least stand up for this young woman who has more courage in her hangnail than the rest of the music industry put together? And it's just another symptom of the broken society we have, that people can't even stand up and say, leave this girl alone. She deserves to be able to leave her hotel. She deserves to be able to walk down the street and celebrate her artistry. So again, it's just another symptom of how we're broken. We're not okay. But hey, she is a hero. She will go down in history as a hero. She is the hope of this world.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify, John, too. I believe in, you know, free expression for creatives to be able to do what they want to do. What my thing was, these countries that were coming out specifically saying, we are opposed to these performers even being, I mean, the Ireland, you could say what you want about the imagery. I thought it was crazy, but a lot of Eurovision is crazy. What was the part that really struck me was these interviews with some of these other nations saying, I cried when Israel made it into the top 10, because it shows it's not about the art. It's not about the music. It is about politics. And thankfully, look, in some ways, the American people and the rest of the world understood that it also meant a little bit about politics, and they responded. So you're calling for, I know you said for Bono, all these people, by the way, spoke out very early. You know, Bono was one of the first ones, I think immediately was said, you know, the Stars of David, did this whole speech he gave at the Sphere. And then as time moves on, politics gets in the way. And politics will get in the way of artists being able to actually say what they want. Because you know that if the rest of the world voted for Israel and Eurovision and made a statement, that there are a lot of artists out there that do agree with you, John. They're not all just sitting back and not agreeing with you, but they're scared.
They're cowards. I hate to say it. Yeah. Some of them are friends of mine. But, you know, culture is downstream of politics, right? Our buddy Andrew Breitbart said that, you know, many, many years ago. And I think it makes sense that you see this kind of anti-Semitism in the arts, because it reflects a lot of the politics of the world. I think the Macklemore song, that reflects a large portion of our youth. So I do think the arts have always reflected politics. Unfortunately, the artists of 2024, you know, since October 7th, have also exposed themselves as what they are, moral cowards. And I hate to say it, but I have no better answer for you than that.
Yeah. Well, John, we always appreciate you coming on. I know you're on tour right now, which I may be somewhere near you coming up with these tour dates. I'm going to hit you up because go support artists like John. Five for Fighting has been touring for, you know, the last couple decades. Since Will and I were teenagers, we would go see Five for Fighting. Go out there and support it. And it's not like you're going to go to the show and be preached at, for 2 hours. There may be a moment where you're hearing about a good message that John may spread, but in general, go out and support these artists that are standing up. Support the entertainers that are standing up, whether that be John or Patricia Heaton or some of these others that have been loud about these issues when other people won't. And obviously, John, you do have your music video for OK that's still making the rounds, and it's growing and growing, and people can need to go check that out.
Well, thank you, buddy. We'll be in Florida in the end of the month. You always have a seat on our guest list, and I appreciate everybody's support. Look, it's a team effort. I'm not Jewish. You don't have to be Jewish to, like, you know, support Israel. So it's a team effort. We have a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, we will make sure we put that all on the links. And, of course, Will, this does come. We want to talk for a minute, and if, John, you can comment, too, if you're still there. But we also saw Jerry Seinfeld go out there, make a commencement speech at Duke, and simply because he is a known supporter of Israel, and it may be one of those prominent Jewish actors of all time, Jewish comedians of all time, certainly. 40 or so protesters start waving Palestinian flags and walk out.
But the best part of that was that the rest of the people that were there in their commencement exercise, it started chanting Jerry to drown out the protesters.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what's really needs to happen. It's what happened at the Eurovision Song Contest. We're able to drown out the protesters because really, they may be loud, but we can be louder. Continue to support the work of the ACLJ. As we head into break, I do want to take some phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Thanks, John, for coming on. As always, John's like a commentator now on this broadcast, which I love. As someone who's a big fan, I couldn't think of a better voice to come on here and talk to you. So check out Five for Fighting's music. Go see John when he's on tour. And again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. You can also sign that petition right now to stand up in support of Israel and against the current situation at hand in this world, as we have seen so much happen today. ACLJ.org/sign. Take your calls next segment. Before we take your calls, I wanted you to see some imagery. This is what we were talking about out front, the Eurovision Song Contest. Look at that. I mean, that is in Sweden. Switzerland won.
In front of the hotel of Eden Golan.
Yeah, so just massive protest again. Of course, like I said, was one of the ringleaders was Greta Thunberg, which is just honestly trivial. It just shows that now it's no longer about the actual causes they care about. It's just about being sort of a leftist, and a leftist has to be, you know, if you're going to be pro-environment, you also have to be anti-Israel. Sadly, that's how she stays relevant. But it is that weird sense of the issues are no longer singular. They all have to tie each other together. You can't be pro, you know, energy efficiency and also support Israel. No, they have to be one or the other. Let's continue and take some phone calls. Some have been on hold for a very long time. Some of our earliest topics, but we'll circle back to there. Let's go to Bruce, who's calling in Colorado. Bruce, you're on the air.
Well, thanks. And I mean, I was listening to your program anyway, so it wasn't that big a deal waiting. Awesome. But my question and concern was about how Joe Biden's playing politics with supporting Israel. And, you know, it's jeopardizing the rescue of American citizens who are being held hostage by Hamas. And what I'm wondering is, you know, how, like what they're doing now going after Donald Trump with lawsuits after he came out of office. I'm wondering, is this setting up Joe Biden to be dragged into court for playing politics with the lives of these individuals, the families would bring a lawsuit against him for it?
Bruce, I think that the situation with Trump in court or the impeachments that have happened reset the game to where we now have a situation where we do have to side collectively as a country, not just Democrats, what game we're playing. Are we going to be a country that really takes our political opponents to court, throws them in prison for speech we don't like? Now, certainly, if there are situations that are deemed essentially war crimes, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be. I'm not saying there should be no accountability, but we do have to figure out where that bar is and where that standard is, because the standard for impeachment got lowered, and it appears that President Biden has done something what you would be consider quote unquote impeachable. Now, would that have been the standard 10 years ago, 5 years ago? Maybe not.
I also think it's important to really look at what's going on within the party and within the court system. And I think that Mark Levin over the weekend said that Biden better hope that the Supreme Court takes some of the heat off of the immunity case that we have that we heard just a week or so ago that was argued before the Supreme Court, because there's a long list of things. If you lower the bar of what's now criminal against a former president, then it's going to be on repeat, and it's going to keep getting worse. And President Biden will have a laundry list of things that, when you look at it through the lens that they looked at former President Trump, could look criminal because of the actions that you take as President of the United States.
So the question is going to be how we respond. Do you go, that's not the game we play here? Or do you engage? I'd love to hear from you in the comments right now. That's a great comment question. What do you think? Do you go low at this point because they've done this? Or do we try to rise to a bigger standard, a better standard in America? I'm not sure we can do that second option, by the way. To fight fire, we may have to fight fire with fire. Let's continue on, though. Don's calling in California, also been a hold for a long time. Don, you're on the air. And hey, this is probably last call for calls, if you want to say that. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Don, you're on the air.
Last call for calls. I love it. Great show, guys. You know, real quickly, what you said earlier about this business about Israel maybe being guilty of war crimes violations. My gosh, everything Hamas is doing is a war crime.
Of course.
Taking hostages, holding people as human shields. That's what makes this casualty count goes. They won't let the civilians. Israel has put up tent cities, right, to let the people evacuate, and Hamas won't let them evacuate. No, you're our human. They're the war criminals. They're the modern SS. You know, and it's just unbelievable. You know, I think you guys do a great job of talking about it. I think we need to really leverage all the conservative outlets, whether it's Fox, Newsmax, all the radio shows, to hammer this in every day that we're not the warmongers. They're the warmongers. They're attacking us. It's the same in Ukraine, same in Taiwan. We're just trying to defend people fighting for their freedom. Hamas is a cancer, and you can't take part of the cancer. You got to cut out all the cancer.
Yep, exactly. And look, the problem with, you're right, with the mainstream media right now is they're spending all of their day, their entire day covering Trump trials, whether that's, by the way, Fox or MSNBC or CNN, whatever the mainstream media, because they think that's what's going to get the ratings. Sadly, they may be right. That's what gets the ratings. But what I would hope is that broadcasts like ours can actually bring you what's actually happening in the world that actually matters to you. Okay, that's what we want to do here. We want to fight for the 9-year-old who's getting their Bible verse Easter eggs taken away, and we want to go fight when necessary all around the world to protect religious freedom and freedom of speech and not get bogged down in this entertainment news, you know, phenomenon that we live in right now, where they think that's what you want. We know that is not what our audience wants. And I'm going to give you also not only what you want, but what we think is important for you. And that's what we do here at the ACLJ. We're going to continue on. Greg on YouTube, you're on the air, line 4.
Yes. I'm just wondering, with the senators, coming against the Biden administration on this, like Senator Graham and others, that do you think that they'll cave in to pressure the Biden administration and let that shipment go that Israel needs to for the weapons and stuff? Yeah. To go over and Rafa.
It's the mighty dollar and the mighty vote.
It sounds like they're more likely to cave to the campus protesters mm-hmm. than they are to Republicans or even some Democrats in the Senate that want aid to Israel. But there is one person, I wanted to highlight this, we probably don't have enough time to play it, but David Cameron in the UK was asked by Sky News about doing a weapons embargo on Israel. Well, let's go ahead and play it. Bite 11.
If you're saying to me, why not have a, you know, political declaration now to have an immediate arms embargo? Well, I was pressed to do that a few months ago. And the very next thing that happened just a few days later was a massive Iranian attack on Israel, including 140 cruise missiles. So I don't think it would have been a wise path, and I still don't think it would be a wise path. I mean, if I announced that today, it might help me get through this television interview, but actually it would strengthen Hamas, it would weaken Israel. I think it would probably make a hostage deal less likely. So I don't think some sort of political declaration is the right answer.
Right.
We should stick with our rigorous process of making sure we act within the law.
That's some pretty strong voices. Thank you, David Cameron. I'm going to say that's a pretty impressive moment there. We're about a minute left in this broadcast. I'm going to encourage you right now, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that by a couple different ways. We have a new petition up right now. Sign our petition. We're about to hit 50,000 because the Biden administration clearly seems to be supporting the enemies of Israel in America, by the way. They're by withholding this information, they are propping up a terrorist regime. We need to talk back against them. We need to fight back against them. Sign that petition, aclj.org/sign. And if you're able, help us in these battles financially by making a monthly recurring gift and becoming an ACLJ champion. Over 21,000 of you have, and that is life-changing. Whether that's for the 9-year-old or whether it is for the state of Israel, we are there for you. Go to aclj.org, become an ACLJ champion if you can. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.